21A1. Okay, we're going to talk about now, we're talking about Soya underneath person's feet. Speaking about Nisim. Rav Huna Amar, right? Haimed hu Adam al Hatsoya umispal. You can stand on Soya and Davin. In other words, you could put your foot on top of a hole in which Soya exists, as long as your foot does not touch the Soya. But if someone did not do a good job cleaning himself up, then Osri cannot daven. Because the pshat is, it says, so the melee, even though I'm not davening, I'm not davening with any, that part of my body, you'd think, so who cares what's going on down there? Teret says, no, it makes a difference, right?
There's no even a breath.
Yeah, we're not talking about Reach here at all. Nothing to do with Reach whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's wearing his clothing. He's got it's mechusa.
It's covered.
No Reach. You can't see it. No
can't
problem.
See it, can't smell
but it's al haguf.
Awesome.
It's a problem. I mean, if a person was standing and he lost control of his mind. Mayim, Mishainim, or Mashtinim, whatever you want to call it.
Shethet.
How do you say it? He lost control of his... what happens, I think, when you get older, you can... If the bottom line is, if you have Meir Aglayim on your body,
right.
Is that a problem?
No.
That doesn't seem to be a problem, no?
No,
I think you're supposed to wait for it to dry up or something. I'm not sure. I what's that safer from Avram? What's his name? The doctor stuff. Not Steinberg. Avram. It's a Shulchan Aruch, which is something Avram. You know what I'm talking about?
It's not from Dr.
Steinberg. Dr. Steinberg wrote the encyclopedia. This is written by somebody else completely.
It could be a problem.
Anyway, I think Shom. Even though he didn't say this explicitly, but he still said the same as Rahuna's halacha that we just said. He said the following. Exactly the same. It's the same halacha. It's just he's bringing that he concurs with him. Okay.
What's the connection to the woman sitting on the ground saying the bracha?
No.
Davening with the feces. Okay. I don't know the
kesher.
Things you shouldn't do
based on.
Maybe.
Because
we were saying the bracha naked.
It's a fairer jump.
I mean, it's he does say, in the introductory remark, having discussed the recital of a blessing when one's ever is exposed, the Gemara now discussed the recital of a blessing in the presence of excrement. And in number three, it says, which is the Yisod HaDavar, which is a Tana Shava between the two halachas. Okay, let's go on. Halacha two. You're faced with two conflicting laws regarding the chal obligation. Let's see. Mishan yachalas isasu b'tara. Someone's not able to make his dough in a state of tara. Why not?
No mikvah.
The person's tummy. He doesn't have access to a mikvah. Or he has a type of tumah such as zivor or nidus, which will last for several more days. There are no tara people available who can ask need for him. The tummy person will transmit tumah to the dough when he needs it, since it undergoes the preliminary to tumah known as hechsher.
He's got nothing else to do.
So what should he do? Yasana kaban. He makes it less than the share of challah. Val yasana b'tumah. He shouldn't make it b'tumah. In other words, he's going to give up the mitzvah of challah, but at least he won't make something tumah. Rabbi Kiva says, no, yasana b'tumah. Better make it untumah. Make it large. Try yasana kaban. Don't make it small. Shekeshen shukar la tahira, kachu kar la tumeya. Just like he designates challah for tahar dough, he designates challah for tameh.
And this wouldn't be
bismarck. Zman Hazem. One second. Let me just finish this thing and we'll go back and think about that. Lezu kari chala b'shem. Lezu kari chala b'shem. Meaning, both when you mafresh chala b'tumma and both when you mafresh chala b'tahara, you both say, you say the bracha. That's what it means b'shem. You're making a bracha when you do it. So Rabbi Akiva is arguing, if you're going to not make the shir chala, then you're not going to have that. You're going to be mafsid the bracha. I mean, mafsid the bracha is a big deal. People don't realize it. It is a big deal. It's not a small thing, right? In fact, the Gemara, you know, the famous Gemara over there in, where is the Gemara? Is it Chulin or something? Where we, I chop the other guy's mitzvah, right? He's supposed to do Kisei Adam, and I chop it ice from him, the shechet. I have to pay out those zehuvim. Who's that?
You gotta pay 10 zuz.
I gotta pay 10 zehuvim. Marsh is like a boss call. That's right. And the reason you have to do it is because of your mouth, some say, because your mouth is on bracha. In fact, it says over there, if you chopped ice his brachas hamazon, you have to pay 40 because you took away four of his brachas. So it's a big deal, right? And Rabbi Kiva doesn't want you to forgo that.
Because
saying Amen is even Gadol HaOmen Amen Yosem HaMavarach. Okay, Avol Kabayim Ein Lahem Chala B'Shem. But if you're going to do small portions of Kav, then it won't be. So I go back to your question now. Your question was, Bizman Hazeh, is it different? I'm trying to understand what your thinking is in terms of this. What do you have in mind? What should change because it's Bizman Hazeh versus?
Because everybody's done it.
You would
never be able to give challah to a kohen anyway.
You're saying that even the Tanakama, even the Tanakama would agree Bizman Hazeh that if we were be oiker, right, in other words, if we were to say, like the Tanakhama, Bizman Hazeh, we would never do the mitzvah of challah. Yes, he actually says that in the footnote someplace. I'm not going to look for it right now, but it is, he does make that point. That's correct. Ha'isa yisasto kabin, v'nogu zebazeh. Now, let's suppose you made them small, but they ended up touching each other. P'tur mina challah, they're p'tur from challah. Atri yeshuchu, today my daughter called me, today. My daughter called from Eretz Yisrael. She made the dough, and she made it into a... She braided the dough already into a challah shape, and then she remembered she forgot to be mafresh challah. Can she take the rest of the dough? She showed me a picture on WhatsApp. Can she take the rest of the dough and put it all together so they're all touching each other and be mafresh challah then? I told her, of course, no problem.
Make a bracha?
She made a bracha.
I mean, before she did the last thing?
What's the last thing?
What you just said, put the pieces together.
She put the pieces together first, so it would be all the shear. Then she was mafresh the challah, and she did whatever. However they make the bracha. I guess they make the bracha ivlasi yasan, so they do it before they cut the challah off. I'm not sure how they do it. Anyway, so that's mamash this thing over here.
See?
A big mekel. Big mekel like the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Nogu zebazeh tum nachala achi yeshuchu," right? Until they bite each other. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, afharei menosin l'sal. It doesn't even have to. It sounds like even if you don't bite each other, but you're in the same basket, that's good enough. That's what it sounds like from the Lashon HaMishnah. We're going to see in a second the Gemara. It's clear it doesn't mean that, and therefore the Gemara says that he's saying, not only do they have to be no shech, but they also have to be in the sal. In which case, the af would be erased. So it's a big shaila, are you garis af in the mishnah or not?
In a sal versus on a table?
I guess. I don't know.
What is a
sal? A sal makes it that they're maturified, they mechitzas. Hasal maturifah machala. Okay. The Gemara says, right? Let's see. So the question is, what's the law if the Tahar dough maker is exactly 4 mil away? Right. This Shaila is, when we say 4 mil, we said in the previous Gemara, that if you're within,
from
4 mil away from someone who's tahar or mikvah or whatever. So then you're mechayev to go the 4 mil if it's less than 4 mil. What if it's exactly 4 mil? Is 4 mil like less than 4 mil, or is 4 mil like more than 4 mil? I don't know how someone knows.
Did you say anything about this in this previous this mission we just read?
What?
Anything to do with this question in this mission?
Because he's tamei, you know, so we require him to go 4 mil. Mishnah's talking about someone's tamei, so it's close enough. So pachis ma'as mil yasana b'tar, less than 4 mil. Abbas mil yasana b'kavin. But if it's exactly 4 mil, you would go ahead and make it small pieces. Or do we say abbas mil yasana b'tar? You could still make it b'tara. Yosem abbas mil and yasana b'kavin. Then if it's more than 4 kavin, that's the shaila. Is it exactly or not? So this is like this is. How are you supposed to know
exactly
how far you are away from a place? I mean, whatever. Nishrina min hada.
It's
a nice to know how much it is, right?
Yes.
Nishmeina min hada. Oh, damer of chia barba. Kagon kesrin, like Caesarea. A distance like that of Caesarea must be traveled to reach a tahar dome maker. 21. From one end of Caesarea until the other end of Caesarea. Alternatively, from the place where Pekia Barba was located until the city limits of Caesarea. Whatever it is, he's giving an example. Now we're on Kavalhum Beis. And Kisrin, the distance, Lavar Bas Milanhu, is it exactly 4 mil? 1. The distance of Caesarea, as defined in the previous note, is exactly 4 mil. Okay. Hadol Amra Abbas Mil Yasana Batara. So you see, the Abbas Mil is like less than 4 mil. You shouldn't do it Batara. You shouldn't do it common. Yosem Abbas Mil Yasana Batara. Oh, Yasana Batara. Common. Okay.
Ad
Ba'abachal. Correct. Is this true? Whenever we say these shurim, I don't know. Rabami Yehiri Bekvar Shamai. So he was in the village of Shammai. Oh, that's an interesting place to live. Has nothing to do, it says here, with the Tana named Shammai. Lasos Isa Gedola Batuma. So this is an interesting rule like this. So what's happening here is you have a huge challah, okay, huge dough. If you were going to go ahead and start breaking it apart. Let's see here. Does this work? He said like this. He said, go ahead and make it patuma. Make it patuma. In other words, you have an alternative, right? You have this huge challah and this big vat. And you have an alternative. You can either go ahead and break it into small pieces, like we said, kav and kav kav, or you could make the whole thing together and it'll be batuma. So he tended like this, that just like the din, in other words, is Gemara going to say this? Gemara's going to say this. I'm speaking out the Gemara ahead of time. Just like the din is that if you have to go more than 4 kavan, you can make it batuma. See here, even though you may not have to go for a mil, but to break it into small pieces is so much tircha. It's as much tircha as it would be to travel 4 mil. So the din of 4 mil is a din in tircha. That's what he's going to say. Okay, so that's what it says. Rab Ami Harbi Bekvar Shammai Lasos Isa Gedol B'Tumah. He made a harah, a rule, that they can make a large stone a state of tumah. In fact, the Gemara Halo ain't from Abbas Milan, but there's not a distance of 4 mil between the village and a tahar dome maker. Why did he not require the person to travel so as to avoid separating challah b'tumah? So where it says, "Mekiven the nahar ramafsik," since a river separated the village from the dome maker, "Kamisha yeshamar bas milim." So it's like this 4 mil. In other words, the 4 mil can be reduced if there's something else in the way. It's tantamount. Masisin Rabbi Kiva, the Rabbi Kiva miyasana b'tumah. So that's like Rav Akiva, L'chaira, right? Because in our Mishnah, we said, if you have a choice between making it a kav and kav kav, or making a petumah. Tanakama said, make it kav kav. Rabbi Akiva said, no, make it petumah. So since Rav Ami is saying to make it petumah, he must hold like Rabbi Akiva. Is that correct? The Gemara says, in other words, the question is based on why would he pass like Rabbi Akiva? Can I get chavei rav? How is it Rabbi Akiva? I mean, chavei ro. But here you have a Tanakama against him. It's not likely they would pass like Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, Isa gadol ha'isa, it was a very large dough. Noach ha'il olahalach kama, it would be easier for him to walk kama meal, many meal, v'lo la'asos a kaban, and not make it into a kaf. So Rav Ami held, in such a case, even Tanakama would agree that you can make it in a state of tumah. That's what I was telling you before. I kind of jumped the gun. Again, so the Gemara is saying that it doesn't mean that he holds like Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah, when he suggested that you should do it Batumah, which is Rabbi Kiva Shita. Rather, he said it over here in a special case because it was such a large challah that it would have been such a tircha that it would have been more than walking the Dalmin. Okay? Now, Mechlefashutas Rabbi Kiva. Here we have an inconsistency with Rabbi Kiva. Why? In a later Mishnah, he says you take challah from a kav-sized dough. So that's later on. Let's see, he says it over here. It's page 39a. So if you don't mind, just quickly turn to 39a just to see it. In the Mishnah, it's 39a2, if I remember correctly. Yeah, 39a2. So there the Mishnah says, it sounds a little strange. It says, Hanoitel Chala min hakav, if one took Chala from a kav of dough, which is, again, 5/4 of a kav is what's higher than Chala. So a kav is 1/4, one and a quarter. So it's 1/4 less than what you need for the Chiyav. So he's taking Chala when he's not Chayav to take Chala. So what's the din? From a kiv aimer, Chala, it's Chala. And the Chacham say, Yenachal, it's not Chala. Okay, what's going on over here? I don't know. Does Rabbi Akiva not hold from the share 5/4 of a kav? No. He has to agree to that. That's like halacha mashmi sinai, as our share, you know? So what does it say over here? The Gemara is going to explain it. In footnote 9 over there in 39a2, it says, Rabbi Akiva agrees one is not obligated to separate challah from a dough smaller than the prescribed amount of 5/4 of a kav. He rules, however, that if you separate it from a small dough, the separation takes effect, and the challah must be eaten by a kohen in a state of tara. Okay, I'm not going to worry about the whole reasoning behind Rabbi Akiva.
He says that you'll add to it. You'll add Isa to the thing, and then the dievet, it'll work.
Okay. That could be. I'm not sure. No, it could be. The Gemara here is asking a steerer. Taman, who am I told me kav chala. Over there, he says you take from one kav chala and it's good. The ka who amar hachein, but here he says what? That you may not divide the chala, the dough, into kav portions, which implies that he would agree that if you did divide it into kav portions, that it would not be chayiv in chala. So what does he hold? Is a kav chayiv in chala or not chayiv in chala? It's a weak question, right? Right, and the Gemara answers it. It's a trivial answer, right? Taman, the Gemara answers, L'shavar, it's over there, the Gemara is going, but the Yavit, if you took chala, then it has certain halachas. But avada l'chachila, that's not the way to behave. You should not take a kav, you do not take dough from a kav. Okay, that's the answer. Rabbi Eliezer Aymer, what does he say? If you remove kav-sized loaves of bread from the oven and place them in the basket combines them. So Rabbi Yonah, Rabbi Kiyah, B'Shem, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Imi, B'Shem, Rabbi Yochanan, whatever it is, everybody's quoting Rabbi Yochanan. V'hein shenoshku, this refers to where the loaves were attached and fit to bite one another. They fit, it means it's roi. It's roi to bite one another in the oven. It's I tell you the truth, I don't know the getter over here exactly what this means. It didn't actually bite in the oven. It sounds like it was roy to bite.
If you pull it away, it'll take away something.
What?
It was close enough that...
Did it bite or did it not bite? It says over here, 17. Let's look.
If you would have left it, it would have bit.
It sounds like if you would have left it, right? By stating that also, if one puts loaves in a basket, the basket combines them, but loaves are indicated that he's adding another way in which a challah obligation is to be created. Besides the Tanakhama's case of the dough's bite. Thus, Rabbi Lezer is teaching that loaves that can combine in a basket, even if they never bite one another. Rabbi Yochanan, however, explains that even though the loaves did not actually bite, they have to be fit to bite one another in the oven. That is, Rabbi Eliezer's ruling applies only to loaves that become attached to each other while baking and that may end up biting each other as the baking proceeds. Does that make sense? Rabbi Eliezer's ruling, I'm going to read it one more time, applies only to loaves that become attached to each other while baking and that may end up biting each other as the baking proceeds. If these loaves did not actually end up biting one another, remember there's two things. There's touching and there's biting. So biting is a little bit more than just touching, right? So if they were touching, but they didn't bite, then he holds they still combine for challah if they're placed in a basket. Other types of loaves which are not fit to bite one another do not become obligated in the challah, even if they were placed together in a basket. In other words, if you had two loaves put in the oven on opposite sides of the oven, there's no way they would ever touch each other, and therefore they're not roi to neshicha. Rabbi Yochanan seems to be saying Rabbi Lazar would agree that the sal is not mitzarek them. It's only in a case where they were close enough that neshicha was a possibility, even though it didn't happen. If they ended up in the basket, it's mitzarek them. That's the best. I can't give any more than that. I don't understand this. That's what it seems to say over here. Now, is Tani, 21b3. There's a Tana who taught a brisa. Hasal mitzarek. That a basket combines cup-sized breads to create a challah obligation, but ein ha-tanur mitzareif, an oven, does not combine them. The ish tani-tanei, there's another b'raisa who says, ha-tanur mitzareif, that the oven does combine them, the ein ha-sal mitzareif, but the basket does not. Amar Rab Yochanan, so Rab Yochanan said the following, aitisei midechilfai, Chilfai is the name of a person, I think, that he learned the explanation of the difference between those two brises is like this. Noshku, if they actually bit one another, can become mitzarif, then and the oven and the sal would both be mitzarif them. Right? Loi noshku, if they didn't bite at all, then can become ain't a mitzarif, they don't agree. That everybody agrees with. Where is the machlokes? Masnisen, now we're on Kav Beis. Masnisa, where is the Bryce? Where the Bryce is talking about? To go to Elaine, Rifasa de Bavel. The Babylonian loaves, they become attached, are fit to bite when they bake in the oven. The first Bryce holds only a basket, not an oven. And the second Bryce holds only an oven, not a basket. Okay, so he's explaining the Hecha Timsa, but he isn't explaining, I don't know what the Svaras are. I guess footnote one maybe explains it. Babylonian loaves are wide and round and stick to each other in the oven. That type of bread, the second brisa holds that the oven combines them. The first brisa holds the basket and combines them. However, it is not necessary for them to become so attached during the baking that they actually bite each other. If they were attached to that extent, there would be no need for the oven or the basket to combine them. They would be subject to the challah just on the account of them biting each other. So if you have biting is always good enough. Rather, Rabbi Yochanan means it was possible for them to bite one another. However, all agree, in the case of a long and narrow loaf, which do not become attached during baking, are not fit to bite one another at all. Neither the basket nor the oven can combine them. Okay. Whatever.
I get a magazine in my office called Traveling Week.
Yeah.
There's an article about lavash, the type of bread that makes our meaning of
something. Yeah.